Hello, ladies. How are you doing? I hope you are doing well. I'm glad that you are here. Okay, as you know, my name is Nicole Kellerman-Worth, and I'm the founder and creator of WildlyAliveWeightLoss.com. And this is Wildly Alive Wednesdays, where I'm going to show you how to get out of your own way, start having fun, and feel alive again. From body image, spirituality, beliefs, money, and movement, to relationships, motherhood, creativity, sisterhood, and mindset, Wildly Alive Weight Loss is the place to come for practical advice and real stories on how to create the lifestyle you adore and a body you feel proud of. And today we're talking about, so today is actually the part three of the five-part series on how to become a person who loves to work out. And today we're talking about how to shift how you speak about exercise. So there are certain languaging, I guess you can say, that really causes you to not work out just because it's seen like painful, right? And so today we're really going to explore how you talk about exercise. And again, I want to recap what we've talked about in the last few because these all build upon each other. So if you haven't seen part one and part two, please make sure you go check those out. So you can be kind of caught up with this entire series. All you need to do is go to wildlyaliveweightloss.com/blog, and then underneath the blog is the last two videos, the last two coaching calls, and then this one will show up on the page the following Tuesday. So part one, we talked about why typical exercise programs don't work and set you up for failure, and why the only way to move is by working on your mindset when it comes to exercise. And I even had you do a written exercise in that coaching call that really helped you see what your relationship with exercise really was, like what you really thought about exercise, that it's work, that it's hard work, that it needs to suck, that you need to sweat, that you need to feel like crap the next day, that you have to be on a treadmill, things like that. And I just really wanted you to open your eyes and see, no wonder it's been hard for me to motivate myself to exercise when this is what I believe. I believe that it's going to be this horrible thing. And so it helps you bring in a sense of compassion. Not that you're lazy, not that you don't have any willpower, because this is what you have to understand is that your mind, your beliefs run 97% of your life. 97%. Your subconscious runs 97% of your life. Your subconscious is Helga. And so when you try to do things from a place of willpower, when you try to follow those plans, calories in, calories out, set days to do certain exercises, things like that, that means you have 3% of your brain power that's focused towards getting this done. And you can see why that measly 3% ends up fizzling out. And so when we start to work on the mindset and exercise, then we start to get your subconscious on board. And this entire series will help get your subconscious on board to see exercise as what it truly is and how it truly is a gift. And then part two, we talked about healing your relationship with movement when it comes to your body. So I had you really explore your history with movement in your body. So how did you feel in your body when you were a kid and you moved? And I talked about three specific groups that you could be in. And again, you could kind of fall into two of them. That's kind of what Group C was about. And then doing a parenting your inner child exercise where you talk to little you and you tell her all the things that you wish somebody would have told you when you were in that moment. So if you were an athlete and a lot of your self-esteem was held in how well you did and if you were MVP and if you won or not, you know, like letting the older, wiser you come in on that moment and speak to her and say, "You're amazing if you're MVP or not. You're a great person if you win or not. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but it doesn't mean you're a bad person." And so it's really about breaking up those beliefs and really speaking to that little girl is a great way to start shifting it in and of itself. And so today, you know, we're talking about shifting how you talk about exercise. And so this is a really, really small mind shift, but it can be a huge repercussions. So instead of calling it exercise, or instead of calling it working out, because again, those things are all tied up into those limiting beliefs. The exercise you did in part one and part two, it needs to be hard, it needs to see the white light, all of those things. It needs to hurt. So if you can start calling it movement, start calling it movement. It will really help shift you into choosing ways of moving that feels good for you in that moment. Because when you think of exercise, you think, if I gotta lose weight, then I need to get on the treadmill, or I need to get on the elliptical, or I need to take this circuit class, wherever your mind goes in that moment. But when you say movement, that's when you're more open to, well, maybe I can stretch today because I'm feeling a little tight, or I've had a really stressful week. Or, maybe just going for a walk. Yeah, I can move that way. And there's this sense of like relaxation and true joy, enjoyment that comes over your body when you say, I'm just going to try to move my body, you know, every other day or on some sort of daily basis, even if it is just stretching. And that's why, and this is the cool thing, is that I came up with the 21-Day Get Moving Challenge in 2012. And I'm really glad that I called it that, not the 21-Day Exercise Challenge or anything like that. I had no idea about this little mind shift, this language shift at that time. But I love that I called it the 21-Day Get Moving Challenge because I think it's helping everyone. If you are participating in the challenge right now, I know that there are a lot of you who are really understanding and getting that moving your body and exercise, it doesn't have to be extreme. And it can actually feel pretty freaking good, right? And you can actually look forward to it. And that's my whole point through this challenge and through this 5-part coaching series, is to help you guys really anchor in and see that moving your body on a regular basis and disconnecting it from weight loss and saying, moving my body just makes me feel good. And why can't I just do something that makes me feel good? And oh, yes, a byproduct of that could be losing some weight. So, you know, that's kind of in the back of your head, but that's not the main driver. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit more. I think it's in part 4. But again, like using the word movement, I just want you to play with that. And if you're in the challenge, you have really fully immersed yourself in that whole thought. But I want you guys to continue moving after the challenge. And so if you can just ask yourself or post a sticky note somewhere on your refrigerator, or maybe it's in your car because moving your body is more likely to happen at night, or maybe it's more likely to happen in the morning, having it somewhere where you see, how would you like to move today? What ways of moving your body would feel best for you? Having some of those prompts, those sticky notes, maybe it's reminders on your phone, something like that, because there's just this relaxation that comes with it. There's not this stress of, ugh, I gotta work out. I don't wanna work out, but I gotta do it because, you know, I gotta lose some weight because I'm going to this high school reunion. And, you know, like, don't even think about it in terms of weight loss. Just know that when you move your body on a regular basis, it makes you feel good. And the truth is that when you feel good, when you're in a good emotional place, you naturally, automatically, subconsciously make healthy decisions. It's just what happens. That is the basis of Wildly Alive Weight Loss, is to get you into a good emotional place around your body, food, and movement. And when you're in a good emotional place with that, you naturally make healthy decisions. It's not a place from willpower. It's not forcing yourself. It's not about grit or anything like that. It's from a natural gravitational pull towards a healthier way of being. When we're in a bad emotional place and we feel like crap and we're fighting with our boss and our kids are acting up and we're really letting all of that get to us. And oh yeah, I stepped on the scale today, still haven't lost any weight. And you're in this place of disappointment and anger and sadness and whatever. What happens? You turn on Netflix. You drown it out. You grab the bottle of wine and the bowl of ice cream and you go to town. So really just tuning into where your emotions are on some sort of a regular basis and, you know, a momentary basis is super healthy. Now, I'm not going to get into that. That's a whole other animal. But yeah, so that is the lesson today. So I have time for 2 to 3 callers. So star 2 to raise your hand. I'm going to take as many as I can until the top of the hour. So star 2 to raise your hand and say your name, where you're from, and your question. It can be around anything in this three-part series so far, the three parts that you've had access to, how your relationship with exercise is, anything like that. Maybe you're in the challenge and you have a question. Okay, going over to 7070, you are unmuted.
Hi, Nicole. It's Berlin.
I'm from
California.
Hello, dear. You kind of cut out there, but hopefully.
I hear an echo, yeah. Is that better?
Yeah, you're not cutting out anymore.
Okay. I just wanted to call and comment on last week's call. How you talked about channeling your inner child and, you know, telling your inner child, you know, what you would want to hear or whatever. But I was able to take that a step further. And because I have 3 nieces, and they're, one's 11 and 2 are 12. So 2 are sisters, one of the 11 and 12-year-old are sisters, and then the other one's a cousin. But they all live in the same household. So the 11-year-old is developing a lot faster than both of the 12-year-olds. And they tease her a lot about that. So she has boobs already, you know, she kind of has a big butt, and, you know, she's just a little thicker than both of them. So they tease her about that. And she was telling me that, you know, she just feels so uncomfortable about her weight and all this stuff. And she was saying that she feels like she's fat. And so we were talking about this the other day. So I sat them all down together, and we were just talking, and I was just telling them, you know, that, you know, and I told Anna, I was like, tell them how it makes you feel when they, you know, talk about your weight and stuff. And she was telling them, because her sister is really skinny, and she picked up her mom. Her mom has, you know, she's this, and her sister eats, like, way more than anybody there in the household, probably. And she's this skinny, you know, and that's just her type and stuff. So I was like, tell her how that makes you feel. And so they, you know, they was telling her. And then my one niece, that the one that makes fun of her, the one that's really skinny, she had dreadlocks. And they had a lice outbreak at school. And she ended up getting the lice, right? Well, we couldn't get all the lice out of her hair, so we had to cut her hair really short. So we had to cut the dreadlocks off. So her hair is really short now. Yes, so her hair is really short. But her, so she's 12. Her 11-year-old sister, and even though, you know, she was like, Didi talked about me and Didi calls me fat and all this stuff, her 11-year-old sister felt bad for her and cut her hair as well.
Oh, wow.
So they both
have
really short hair. So they both have really short hair. And Anna's like, Didi, we can rock this. We can rock this. So they went, you know, we took them to the store and got them all kind of bows for their hair and all this stuff and headbands. And even took them to the barber shop to get it shaped up and stuff like that. So they were both really happy with it. And, you know, but I was just telling them that they need to encourage each other. You know, they're siblings, and there's going to be people out there that's going to talk about you no matter whether you're skinny, you're fat, or you're little. So I was like, and she said people talked about her when she had her dreads. And I'm like, so then people might talk about you when you don't have no hair, you know. So either way, people are going to talk about you. But for the 3 of them, you know, they just need to be there for each other and encourage each other and let them know that you're beautiful, you know. So I was trying to install in them that they're, you know, you guys are beautiful. And whether you have hair, you have no hair, whether you, you know, you're getting boobs faster than your sister and stuff, like, you're beautiful, you know. I mean, God made you that way for a reason. So I was able to talk to him and take that inner child, you know, a step further. And I did the assignment and, you know, wrote to myself and stuff. But when that opportunity came up, I just thought it was like a great opportunity to you know, talk to that inner child and stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
stuff that that's, nobody that's ever told you, like when you was growing up, that you was beautiful and, you know, that God made mm-hmm. you this way because that's the way he wanted you to be, you know. And in God's eyes, we're all beautiful and, you know.
We're not meant to fit into a certain mold. Like, we're all designed
yeah.
to look different. And, like,
yeah.
why so often we fall for this notion that we all need to look a certain way is crazy. And so it's like, we're unique, and we need to capitalize on our uniqueness and our differences and be able to thrive and be in the same circles being different. Like, that's the beauty of life, is contrast and having different opinions. Like, and this is taking it to a whole other level, but we all humans come here and have an opinion about everything. And the beautiful thing is we are allowed to have our own opinion, but that has become so hard, especially on social media, for people to accept other people's opinions. And it's like, yeah. hey, that's their life. That's what's working for them. Why do you care? You live your best life. Maybe you don't believe the same thing that they do, or maybe you don't live the same way, but if whatever's working for you is working for you, cool, that's great. And that must be working for them. And even if it isn't working for them, it is not you are not the universe. You know, you are not in charge of the universe. You aren't in charge of everyone
yeah.
else. You don't need to micromanage everyone else's life, you know? And, like, just letting us all be in a place of differences and difference of opinions, a huge part of being a wildly alive woman, and I know you know this, Berline, is lovingly agreeing to disagree and accepting
yeah.
everybody's differences and letting them, like, hey, if that's working for you, that's cool. Even though I don't agree with it, that's okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
There are plenty of people out there who I don't understand, but
and
that's
don't
okay.
agree
like,
with.
I'll just live my
and
best
that's
life.
Another
and you
thing. Just... Yeah, and that's another thing. One of the other 12, so the 12-year-old that's not the sister, that's the cousin, she sneakily was on, you know, like we had to take her computer and her tablet and her phone away from her. She's 12 years old, but she was caught sneaking, talking to, you know, pretending like she was a boy online and saying she was 15 when she's 13 and talking to girls and stuff. So, you know, we've been asking her for, you know, probably about a year now, did she like girls and all this stuff? Because, we've had a suspicion that, you know, she was that way or whatever. And so she would always say, no, you know, I don't like either. I don't like girls or boys or whatever, you know. Yeah, she got in trouble for this, but I tried to reassure her, you're not in trouble. I mean, if you like girls, you like girls. And that's not what you're in trouble for. Yeah, I don't agree with you liking girls, but I don't dislike you if you like girls. You know, so that's not nothing you have to hide. You have to be able to come and talk to us, the adults around you, about this, you know, because you're talking to people online. You don't know who you're talking to. And that's just scary. You know, you're putting your whole family at risk by talking to people online. I was like, because these people that you are talking to online are not 15-year-old girls. Most likely.
Right. Yeah, technology is definitely something that absolutely scares me when it comes to...
It scares me, too, when it comes to children. So it's like, you're not in trouble because you're talking to girls. You're in trouble because you were sneaking and doing it online and talking to, you know, God knows who you're
right.
talking to and stuff. So I hope I got through to her that we're not judging you because of that. You know,
right.
That's what you're going to grow up. Like, we don't hate you for that. We're not mad at you for that. We're mad at you because you didn't come to us about it, and not even mad about that. You know, we're just mad that you're online talking to people about it.
Right.
You know, when
right.
you don't know who you're talking to, you don't know who's on the other line. Just like you told them you were 16 and you're 12. You told them you was a boy and you're a girl. They could be doing the exact same thing to you.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so,
okay.
so it's not like
yeah.
we're mad at her for it.
Right, right. Okay, great. Well, that's great insight that you were able to take that parenting your inner child exercise and take it the next step and really actually tell a child
yeah.
that, you know, that
yeah.
they're beautiful just the way that they are. So, awesome.
Yeah.
All right, dear. I don't find
all
that
right.
coincidental. That's really great. I'm sure there was a lot of healing
right?
that went on with that.
Yeah, it was.
All right, Theo. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, there's plenty of you on the call, so I have time for one more caller if you press *2 to raise your hand. *2 on your dial pad. Let's not waste these last 5 minutes. What are you learning about movement? What are you learning about your body since we started the challenge or since this series started? Everyone's going to be quiet? Everyone's going to be shy? Okay, I'll give it a few more seconds. *2 to raise your hand. *2. I see a few of you that I know. Anyone? No one's going to take it? Okay, then I will officially wrap up the call. Remember, this is supposed to be a coaching call. I want to coach you guys. I want to actually talk to you. So don't be so shy. So thank you all for showing up live. I'm hoping to actually speak to you guys more often. You know, having those heart-to-heart conversations are really, really important. You got to raise your hand so we can have the heart-to-heart conversation. And sharing your stories and successes and struggles really helps you feel connected, which is becoming harder and harder to do in this day and age. So I hope you felt some sort of connection, some relief, some compassion, some forgiveness for yourself as you are here. And if you're listening to the recording, I love that you made time to listen. It's really awesome that you tuned in and made time for yourself. And if you can come live, go to wildlyaliveweightloss.com/coach, and you can learn more about these calls and how to participate. And if you can't come on Wednesday nights, but you'd still like to get some coaching or you have some questions, you can email support@wildlyaliveweightloss.com or reply any of my emails with your question. I'd be happy to answer it on one of these calls in the future. All right. I love you all, and I will talk to you, raise your hand, next week. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.